Hello, good day. This is Michael Meehan, editor at SearchWebServices.com, and today I'm going to be doing a podcast with Judith Hurwitz, CEO of Hurwitz & Associates, on the SOA repository. Good day, Judith. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing excellent. Why don't we just dive straight into it? We're talking here about the SOA repository. Often you see SOA registry / repository is the way it gets listed. What's the difference between the registry and the repository?
Well, the registry is basically where you handle the pointers and the information about what is actually being stored. The repository is a little bit more detailed because it actually includes a lot of the more detailed information about the resources.
Detailed information such as what?
About what the security requirements are, where things are being stored, how they're being used. Depending on the repository, it can actually be a database of the actual, information about the rules, about what's going on within a SOA environment.
And in terms of usage these days, again, we hear a lot about registry. I think people understand the basic process of, okay, I've got a service, I stick it in a registry, other people can find it. Do you find that people are properly using repositories yet, that they've really understood what the repository can mean when they sit down to try to make their SOA work?
I actually think that we are still early in the whole registry repository area. Clearly there are repositories and registries out there that are on the market and being used, and there are standards emerging like UDDI 3.0 that are very important especially to the registry market. The reality is that we are still early. As you start to get into production with a service-oriented architectures, you really can't do it without having a registry and a repository. And they're actually, the reason that they are always talked about together is that they are actually directly related. You can't have just a registry without having a storage mechanism for the information that you're referring to in your registry. So they are definitely very intimately related, and it has to evolve. It's not necessarily the easiest thing for companies to do. The other issue is that it really it isn't one massive database, and I think that's an important issue for people to realize that it actually can be a series of data sources that are federated together. So I think that's the other important point.
Let me ask you real quick, just to, for the people listening at home, walk us through, how I might bring repository functionality to bear inside of my SOA on a given service.
Okay, so it's more at the enterprise level. You may do a registry based on putting together your first SOA implementation, where you have a series of services you create and you would like other people to access those services. So you would put them into a registry so that they can be identified. But there's a lot of information about each of those services that you need to store. Who's allowed to change those services? Where they reside, what the security requirements are, how they are related to other services and other applications within your environment. So you need to really take a holistic view to look at registry repository as being very much related as opposed to separate entities, because they are part of the whole picture.
And this really gets at what we call governance, doesn't it?
Yes. Governance is really at the heart of this, because what governance really says is, okay, I'm going and I'm implementing SOA. But as soon as you implement SOA, what you end up with is a series of services that you want to use in a lot of different ways. So once you do that, once a service is going to be used, let's say in 10 different instances, 10 different, let's call them virtual applications, it is then very important that those applications, that those services be able to be used in conjunction in different ways. So you have to understand what are the rules for using that service. Now, you may have a situation where somebody looks at a service and said, that can't be right, and decides that they're going to go in and change that specific service. Now, the reality is 10 other applications that you've now designed all are dependent on that service. So you go in and for your use, you can say, oh, well, I'm going to change, I'm going to make it differently. Well, now it's going to impact the way 10 other services run, which can not be a good thing, and really can have a dramatic impact on how you run your business, because you will become dependent on those services because they are now, your new systems of record. So being able to ensure that the right people touch the right service at the right time, that security is protected, that there are rules of engagement is very important, and the registry repository is really at the heart of appropriate governance.
And that really, you know, we say governance, but I mean that sounds a whole lot like asset management.
Well, there is definitely an asset management component to this. When you think about what a service is, it is an asset that you're managing and reusing. So all of these areas are interrelated, and I think one of the things that we get to with SOA is there's no such thing as technology in isolation. All of these services and infrastructure are all part of a whole picture, which is why, you know, you can't look at SOA as sort of a flash in the pan and something that you're going to do and move on to something else. That's why it has to be viewed as a journey, and why the registry and repository are not an end in themselves, but they're sort of building blocks towards goals.
And when I create an IT artifact, I better know how that thing is existing moving forward rather than just assuming it stayed in one place and never affected anything else.
Right. I mean, in the past, we always assumed that, you know, I write an application, I put it in a specific container, I know exactly who's using it for what purpose. Well, with a service-oriented architecture, that presumption goes away, because the whole value in terms of reuse is that service, whether it's something like processing an insurance claim or whether it's a payment service or that it calculates an interest rate for a specific type of loan, whatever it is going to be used, because there are many situations where you'll use that same capability in a lot of different ways. And organizations are finding that that's a huge benefit in terms of reuse. So unless you have the right rules of engagement, you know where to find that service, you know what it does, you know what the rules are, you understand what the parameters are for changing something, it won't work.
Let me finish up with a best practices question. Who would you recommend putting in charge of this registry repository functionality? Is there anybody ideally situated in an organization, or is this going to be case by case?
Well, a lot of organizations that have been successful with this typically establish a center of excellence. And what they do is they bring together technical experts who understand what the company is doing. They understand the rules of governance, both at the business level and at the IT level, and they then institute practices based on what the rules within that organization are. So a center of excellence basically will then set up the rules, set up the processes. They will also train people in other divisions and other areas with a set of best practices. So that turns out to be a very successful way. That way you take some of your best and brightest people within the organization that understand issues across the organization. So it's not going to be, let's say, take Fred, he's a smart guy, put him in charge, because it's going to be cross-functional. You need people that understand the rules of engagement from the business level, as well as the IT level, as well as people who understand architecture. So putting the team together as a center of excellence is a really good practice.
Well, thank you very much, Judith. And for anybody who's interested in finding out more about SOA, do make sure to pick up a copy of a book Judith recently co-authored called Service-Oriented Architecture for Dummies, which those of us who count ourselves as dummies, myself included, recommend highly. Anyway, thank you so much, Judith, for taking the time, and I hope those of you at home found this useful.
Thank you very much, Michael.